That's an old song that I love to hear. Thank the Lord for it. Well, let's take our Bibles tonight and let us turn to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews this evening. And I want tonight to talk about learning to live by faith. Learning to live by faith. My good friend Lester Roloff, now home with the Lord, used to sing that song, Living by Faith. What a great song it is. And I think over here of this great chapter, which is called the Heroes and Heroines Rule of Honor of those who have lived by faith. We must live by faith. Now let me just say tonight a few things about at least two main thoughts. First of all, the now, N-O-W of faith. Let me say, look there in verse 1, if you will, of chapter 11. He says what? Now faith. In other words, faith is to be daily. Now faith. And it's not yesterday's faith. When your faith becomes yesterday, it's past tense. And when your faith becomes past tense, guess what? Your relationship with the Lord becomes past tense. I don't know about you, but I don't want my relationship with my God to be past sin. It becomes that. He is no longer the God that is, but was. Look there in verse 1 again. Now faith what? Doesn't say now faith was. Now faith what? Is. That's present tense. And we know today today is the first day of the rest of your life. And you live by faith today. That's how we're to live as Christians. Now faith. It is to be lived daily. Faith is to not only to be daily, but faith makes a difference. Drop over there to verse 6 for just a moment. Underline that great verse. You know that verse? One to memorize would be a great benefit to you. Let's read the verse and look what God is saying here about faith. So faith, first of all, is to be daily. Now, not yesterday, now. Faith. You ever have your children? They'll say, I want to put on. Now you tell them to do it when? Now. God's saying this now. You're to have faith. Now faith. So the faith is to be daily. It is faith is to make a difference. Look, let's read verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God, please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Notice that He what? That He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I think there are three things in that verse that I want to point out to you, and I want you not to miss. I want you to notice a great impossibility. Secondly, I want you to notice a great imperative. And thirdly, I want you to notice a great incentive in this verse. Look at that. Notice, first of all, the great impossibility. Now get this. This is why faith is important. But without what? Faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. So your faith needs to be daily. And certainly it makes a difference in where you are and what you are and what you do. It's a great impossibility to please God if you're not living by faith. It is not only a great impossibility, it is a great imperative. Look there. Look at verse 6 again. But without faith, it is impossible to please God, but he that cometh to God must. Underline that word. That's an imperative. That's a command. God's not asking your opinion, he said here in verse 6. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. It's an imperative that you do. He must, let me say this tonight. You remember when you got saved? How did you get saved? For by grace are you saved through what? Faith, there it is. The faith that you had is the most valuable commodity God could give you when you got saved. And God is reminding us that faith, what came into your life at salvation, when it came into your life, that faith is as real today, needs to be as real today as the day you trusted Christ. Just the need to be as real. Just the need is valuable. And I pray tonight It is not only a great impossibility, a great imperative. I can remember when I got saved. That's a wonderful thing to be saved. I think about it. That faith we're talking about is a miraculous faith. Did you know that? I'll never forget when I went off to college to study for the ministry. I never forget what one of my Bible professors said. He says this. He said there are over 30 things that happen to you when you get saved. The only thing I knew is it felt good. It felt good. But there was over 30, and I spent many years studying and still studying, dealing with all those 30 things. And it was a miraculous thing that God did to you, over 30 things that God did to you and God to me when you got saved. It was not only a miraculous faith, that faith we have is a mighty faith. He changed us. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, many man be in Christ, he's what? The idea of that is you continually become a new creature. You're continually becoming more what you ought to be and less what you want to be. It's not only a miraculous faith, it's a mighty faith. Just think with it. I remember so much when I got saved and my life began to change. Why? Because God took my life over and God takes your life over and he begins to change. It is a mighty faith as well as a miraculous faith, and it's a moving faith. Think with me. The Christian life is a journey. We're moving forward, amen? We're on a journey. One day we're going to wind up at the feet of Jesus. Whoa, that's where we're going to wind up. It's a journey we're experiencing in life, and we're headed for sitting at the feet of Jesus. And life is a journey. We're moving forward. By the way, Christian, you need to move forward. You know who a person is? By the way, you never stand still. You're either moving forward or you're moving backwards. Let's move what direction? Let's move forward. Faith moves you forward. Without faith, you move backwards. As you know, I have a handicapped daughter, Christina. I've talked about her from this pulpit. She's 50 years old, and she has the mind of some of those people in Washington. She's mentally retarded. She's never, ever been able to say more than 6 or 7 words, and she can't do it. She is mentally retarded. She's physically retarded. She's never walked a day in her life. Well, don't feel sorry for her. Feel sorry for the Christian who never moves forward because the retardation, they keep going backwards and backwards and backwards. It's a terrible thing to be spiritually retarded. And without faith, you'll be spiritually retarded. That's worse than anything my daughter's gone through. I look forward one day in heaven to sit down, have a good conversation with her. I'll remind her, on this earth, I was your dad. And she'll probably say, how come you didn't give me more milkshakes when we were on earth? She'll say that, no doubt. She loves to have me buy her things that she can eat. Notice thirdly, this faith makes a difference because it's a great impossibility to please God. That's what makes the difference. It's a great imperative. He doesn't ask you what you think. You want to get close to God, you better do it through faith. It's a great incentive. Look here in the verse. Let's read the verse again. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. The great impossibility, for he that cometh to God must. It's a great imperative that must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. That's an great incentive to be able to be rewarded of them that diligently seek him. Now underline that word seek. I want to talk about that a few moments, because faith takes you on a journey of seeking God. Now listen, before I got saved, God sought me. I don't know how you feel about this, but you didn't come to God, he came to you. You didn't look him up. He looked you up. Hallelujah. And he found me. And he saved me. But since then, I've been on a journey through faith to seek him in my time with him. And that goes through by faith. Now let's stop for a moment. Would you take each letter of that word seek, S-E-E-K? Let's talk about that for a moment, because that's important to faith. Daily, I'm seeking God. I'm doing it, and I have found in my life, I remember when I was in college. How many remember when you, if you went to college? I remember when I was a sophomore. You remember when you were a sophomore in college? You know what the word means, don't you? Two Greek words, sophos, moros, you are wise fool. You were about as stupid as anybody could be when you were a sophomore in college. I thought I knew all the answers, but I didn't know what the questions were to match up with the answers. And so I realize here that that journey that I was on, I needed to grow, not be a sophomore. Don't have a sophomore mentality in your life. Seek, what does the word seek mean? Start with the S. It's you seeing your need of a deeper relationship with God. That's what it is. It's seeing your need of a deeper relationship with God. If you are content where you are spiritually, you're retarded. You're in big trouble. I read something many years ago, and I wrote it down. I'll never forget it. It's, I don't know if it's a poem or what it is, but let me read it to you. Then I want to talk about it for a moment. It says, "None of thee," referring to God, "but all of me. Some of thee, but more of me. Less of me and more of thee, none of me and all of thee." Now let me break that down. First of all, before we get saved, God, it's none of thee and all of me. That's life without salvation. Think of it again. None of thee, but all of me. Then some of thee, but more of me. That's life as a spiritual baby. Just some of you, God. I want some of you in my life, but I want more of me. Bible says over there in 1 Peter 2:2, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may," what? "Grow thereby." Are you growing? You know, if physically you were here today, the way you are spiritually, some of you say, "Oh, time for me to take my milk," and you pull out a baby bottle. That's what a baby does. Hello? But we're not supposed to be babies. It's not should be in our lives some of thee, but more of me. That's spiritual retardation. Then I thought of the third one. Less of me and more of thee. That's spiritual growth. Less of me, more of thee. I'm growing. Look with me for a moment. You're not far. Go to the book of James, chapter 1, for just a moment. So we have that three stages thus far. None of thee, but all of me. That's the person who's not saved. You're here tonight. That's what it is. Some of thee, but more of me. Spiritual maturity. I'll give you some of my life, but I won't give it all to you. Less of me and more of thee. That's your growing spiritually. You've heard me say this more than once. I do not believe in this room tonight you've reached spiritual maturity. You're still growing. Amen? Amen? James chapter 1. But here we say in verse 4, "But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect." Twice in the text that you were perfect. "And entire, wanting nothing." That means the word perfect there means that you're growing. It has the idea of being complete in Him. Complete in Him. And so that's the third stage. First stage, none of thee, but all of me. You're not saved. Some of thee, but more of me. That's spiritual baby. Less of me and more of thee. That's your growing. But boy, the most outstanding place you can be is none of me and all of thee. None of me. I think of that passage. Say, we have a verse on that? I sure do. How about Romans 12? You familiar with it? Verse 1 and 2, what a great verses. You might want to turn there. "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be" what? "Transformed." The word "transform" is the word metamorphosis. You know what a butterfly is, don't you? It used to be, what, a caterpillar? Then it had a metamorphosis. And God is working in my life more and more to have that metamorphosis complete, where it will be none of me, but all of thee. That's seeing the need of spiritual growth. Do not be content where you are. Do not be content with your spirituality where you are. Say, oh Lord, I need more of thee. I need all of thee. I need you have all of me tonight. What it is, secondly, is enlarging. E-S is seeing the need of a deeper life with Christ. Every day I wake up, I say, oh God, you've got to have more of me. You need all of me. Seeing the need of a deeper life. E is enlarging the place, are you ready for this, of his habitation. Turn with me to the Old Testament for a moment and go to Isaiah, one of my favorite passages in Isaiah, in 54th chapter of Isaiah. Go there for a moment. Now listen, as we look here, enlarge the place of his habitation. One of the church fathers of old made this remark. He said, thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord. Our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee. What a statement. Let me read it again. Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord. Our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee. You know, many people think that outer space is the widest, emptiest place there is, right? You know what it is? It's the human spirit. The human spirit will never totally be filled with all that there is of God, but it needs to be. I am constantly working on getting more filled with God to take that place and fill me, and it'll never be a time in my human life where he has every part of my being, but I want it to be. That's what he's talking about. Enlarge, and look at verse 54. Enlarge the place of thy tent. The word tent is tabernacle. You know what the tabernacle he's talking about for you and me? It's our human body. Where does God live? Say, well, he lives up there. He lives in here. He lives in the human body today, and we need to enlarge. He wants more of us. He wants that empty space within him, that vacuum, and he wants to fill my life more of himself. That's enlarging the place of his habitation. The next E is entering into a world of thanksgiving. Turn with me to Psalm 100. It's a great psalm. Psalm 100. We not only seeing the need of a deeper relationship, enlarging the place of myself, my body, my mind, soul, and spirit will be dedicated to him. But when you do that, guess what? You enter into a world of thanksgiving. You know, I'm afraid today, with all that's going on in the world today, our Christian's home. Are you ready for this? And many of our young people feel that Christianity is boring. Hello? They just think it's boring. I want to tell you something. It's not. It's not boring. Look what he says here in the text. Don't miss it. Psalm 100, and look with me here, if you will, please, in verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Now, if you're seeking God, you do it through praise. You do it through praise. You come to the place where you're thinking, entering into his gates with praise. You know, somebody asked me one time, I asked somebody one time, I said, what are you doing? He said, well, under the circumstances, I said, well, get out from under there and begin to praise God. He wants to hear us praise. And so it is entering into the world of thanksgiving. Either you live in the shallowness of your feelings or the depth of your faith. What are you doing? Living in which one today? Are you living in the shallowness of your feelings or the depth of your faith? K. Keeping your heart well guarded. Turn with me. You're near it. You're in Psalm. Turn to Proverbs. Go to Proverbs, if you will, here, the fourth chapter of the book of Proverbs. You got the K now. Look there, and don't miss this. Proverbs chapter 4. Look at verse 23. Now, I want you to underline two words. The word keep. Will you see that word? That means to guard. It's exactly what the words means in the Hebrew, guard. Guard thy heart with all, what's in that word? Diligent. The word diligent is the same Hebrew word for the word keep. Keep all thy, guard all thy heart with all guarding that you can. And what are you saying? Double the guard. Double the guard. For out of it are the issues of life. Guard the heart. Guard the heart. Don't let it get cold. You do, your faith becomes inept in your life to help you. And when you seek God, if you'll go back now to our passage over there in the book of Hebrews, I want you to see three words in verse 1. Don't miss them. I want you to see when you S, C, your need of a deeper life. E, when you enlarge the place of his habitation. E, when you enter into the world of thanksgiving. E, when you keep your heart well guarded. The results are found in verse 1. Now, faith is the three words. Underline them. The word substance is the sub. That's the word here for confidence. It's a word. You got confidence tonight in God? You really believe God's going to come through? Whenever you are seeking God, as it says, you have the confidence. God's going to work it out. You know, I have to say this in my life. I don't know how you feel, but when things come into my life, sometimes I say, now, Lord, it's going to be interesting how you're going to work that one out. I've even said, God, you're on the spot. I think I know God well enough to talk that way to him. God, you're on the spot. How are you going to solve this one? And the Spirit of God gives me the truth in my own heart. I'll do it my way if you'll let me. And he solves it every time. Thank God for the confidence we have. And then the second word here, these three words are the result of seeking him. The second word here, thanks so forth, the evidence. That word means convictions. The evidence of things not seen. You know, I'm praying whoever comes here will increase your convictions. You will have stronger convictions because he is building your faith. And you're letting him build your faith. And you will have conviction. A lot of churches don't have convictions anymore. I mean, that word is hardly used today in our churches. We better get it back in and keep it going. If not, we'll have wrong kinds of this, wrong kinds of that, and on it goes. The third word is found in thought here. First, now faith is the confidence of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. That's seeing the things not by the human eye, but by the spiritual eye. That's communion with God. You know, when you have fellowship with God, guess what? You see things and no one else can see that doesn't have fellowship with God. Isn't that great? You have those things. You have the confidence. You have the conviction. You have such communion with God as a result of seeking him. You just are happy in the Lord. Now think with me as another thought. Not only do you see the now faith. Can't be yesterday's faith. Got to be now. Think with me the need of faith. Look there. Go back to our, again, look at chapter 10. Look at verse 38. There's a phrase there that is found in the Old Testament, Habakkuk 2, verse 4. Now, I'll have you turn there. I don't have the rest of the time here for you to figure out where it is, some of you. I'm not trying to make fun of you, but they are probably where you haven't been there for quite a while. But in Habakkuk 2, 4, this is where this verse originated from, the just shall live by faith. He repeats that three times in the New Testament. The first one is in Romans 1:17. What is Romans about? Justification, the just There it is. Then shall live. That's Galatians 3, verse 11. What's Galatians about? I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I what? I live. The third one is found here in Hebrews, by faith. And then he gives us that whole list of people who lived by faith. These three books. And so we see here the thought. But I'm going to tell you this. Who is the person? Well, you know, it's somebody says, I have faith. What do you have it in? Hello, what do you have it in? I don't have faith in our government. I'm not stupid. I may be a little ignorant, don't you say amen? I'm not stupid. My faith, the person of my faith, where it is directed to, is Jesus Christ. He is the person of our faith. And a lot of times we put our faith in things that fail. You know why? Because you've put your faith in the wrong thing. I don't have faith in people. People let me down all the time. They'll let you down, but he's never let me down one time. He's never let me down one time, and I'm thankful for that. And we find over here, think with me, so we see the person. Look at Hebrews. You're in it. Go to Hebrews 12. You're not far from that. This is key. Say, preacher, your problem. Every time you talk, you say, this is key and that's key. Yeah, right. Let's get the key. Look at 12, chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of what? Our faith. Now, the word looking is an interesting word. It's only in the Greek. It literally means to look away from everything else, and just look at Jesus. I think we need to spend many hours in the day, minutes and hours if you can, just looking at Jesus in your thoughts, thinking about what a wonderful Savior we have. We see here, looking into Jesus, he is the author. So we see the person of faith. Let me say this. It's not great faith, but it's faith in a great person. Understand that. It's not having great faith, but it's having faith in a great person that makes the difference. Oftentimes somebody say, boy, he has great faith. No, he just has a great person that he is looking to the author and finisher of our faith. He's looking to Jesus, looking away from everything else. And when you're going through times in your life, I beg you, look away from everything else. I don't only see the person of faith in this text, but I see the participants of faith. There's two participants of faith here. You know who they are? You and God. You and God. Notice here again, as we look there, back to our passage in chapter 11. Look at verse 38 again. The just shall live by faith. Shall live by faith. Now, he's talking about your faith. Now, listen to me. What is your faith? Listen, your part is to be in the will of God. That's a result of faith. When you have faith. And by the way, one way to check whether or not your faith is working is if you're in the will of God or not. Are you in the will of God tonight? We're to be where God wants to. Notice here, your faith. No, through faith, we believe. Constantly, this through faith, this and that. Thank God. Are you in the will of God? Every one of these people on this list were in the will of God. Abel, Abraham, Sarah, all in the will of God. But notice this. Note the word hope here in verse 1. So being in the will of God is your part. Through faith we believe. Note the word hope. That's God's part. Hope has the idea of the seeing the wonders of God. When I look at God, I see here, when I'm in the will of God, then I all of a sudden see the wonders of God and how he works. It's fun. I want to tell you this. The Christian life is fun. Just to see what God does, how God gets it. Listen, most of the messes we're in, guess who created them? Point to yourself. Point to you. And God gets you out of them. Oh, I'm glad for the hope. It means more than just, you know, this is not Las Vegas, think hope here. This is God hope. It's going to happen. and God takes care of it. And I don't know how many times in my life I've had to cry to God, God, the mess I'm in, I created it. Have you ever prayed that? Ever thought that? Problems you're having, you created? I'm glad he's there with hope, and he takes care of it. Boy, that's a blessing to me. I hope it is to you. And then I want you to notice the power of faith. We look here in verse 3. Move down there. This thoughts this evening on faith. We saw the person of faith, the Lord Jesus, the participant of faith, you in the will of God, and hope, God's working. Well, now we see the power of faith here in verse 11. Look at this. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things that do appear. Look at that. You know, think of that. We understand. Through faith, we comprehend God's truth. The evolutionists think they have the truth, but the truth only comes through faith. Now, an evolutionist wants to make a monkey of you. That's where he thinks you came from. There are some people, I think, in my home life, if they ever could, they could have come from monkeys. They're up in Washington right now, many of them. And they think this book, because we talk about faith, well, you people are just, that book is a myth. Well, they're mistaken. This is the word of God tonight. And this is, by the way, this increases my faith. It increases my faith. So we comprehend God's truth through faith. He says, by faith, it's almost humor, though faith, we understand. You talk to somebody who doesn't have faith, he says, you mean to tell me you think you understand how the world was created and how it happened? Yeah, I do, through faith. I comprehend it. I comprehend it. And then we are not only have comprehended God's truth, we are convinced of God's power to do the impossible through faith. Look at verse 3 again. We understand that the worlds were framed. That we are convicted by God's word. That's what I wanted to say. How, look what he said here. We comprehend it. And then here, we're framed by what? The word of God. That's conviction. How do I know the word of God? How do I know that this world God created? How do I know? Because it says so in this book right here. I got to quit doing that. And this says so right here. In the beginning, God created. I comprehend that. I have a conviction about that. You cannot change that. And you do not want anybody, pastor in your church, but ever not believe that. And I know you won't. And then we not only comprehend that truth, we are convicted that it's one of our convictions. But I want you to notice the rest of the verse as we close. Let's read it again. Through faith, we understand, we comprehend that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That's conviction. So that the things which are seen were made of things which do appear. We're convinced today of what God has done. Now listen, faith, notice he says, let's read the verse, so that, I'll try it again. Remember, I'm having a hard time reading. All right. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That's almost a contradiction. You know, faith lives above sea level, not S-E-A, but S-E-E. Faith lives above sea level. You don't have to see it to believe it. I'm convicted. I'm convinced. I comprehend the things of God through faith, that without it, you cannot comprehend. You cannot understand it all. And I'm thankful today for faith. So as we close this evening, where's your faith? Where's your faith? Jesus said to the disciple, said to Peter, when they were in the ship and they, remember he was sound asleep in the back of the ship, he woke him up and they woke him up and he still calmed the storm and he turned to them and he said, where's your faith? Where's your faith? Some of us have lost it. You ever lose something? I'm losing things all the time. I can tell you, I lost this. Okay, you lose things. I still got a little of my mind left, not a lot, but we lose things. Do you ever, I think I've said this before, when I lose things, Marilyn says, well, where did you leave it last? If I knew where I left it, I'd go get it. Am I right? If you lost your faith, you better go back and find it where you lost it. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about living the Christian life. You better go after it. And tonight, if you need to find the place that it's ours, say, oh God, my faith, I need to find it again. I've sort of lost it. I need it back. And I guarantee you, God will do his part through the word hope. He'll supply it. Let's stand. Bow our heads in prayer for just a moment as Daniel comes. We close the service tonight. I pray tonight, if God speaks in any way to your heart tonight, you'll come to that place. Where's your faith tonight? You lost it? Is it weak tonight? It's not great faith. It's faith in a great person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, if you're here without Jesus Christ, you need to be saved. And God will give you the faith to be saved. He'll allow you to, through his word, because the word just brings life to your soul where faith can take over. You want to please God tonight? You do it through faith. Maybe tonight that your faith is not what it ought to be. It's kind of lost. Maybe you need to go out there. Come to the altar tonight and say, oh God, I need my faith back. I need to go work. Help me get it back tonight, Lord. I need it. As Daniel sings, you need to come for salvation. You need to come to find a place at the altar. We pray that you'll kneel and say, oh God, do your work in our hearts. All right, go ahead.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Just bow our heads and watch, search our own hearts. Let God deal with us tonight. How's your faith? None of me, none of thee and all of me. I hope you're not there. Some of me and some of thee. Well, that's a spiritual baby. Less of me and more of thee. That's spiritual growth. But surrender, surrender. There's none of me and all of thee. God dealing with you tonight will not take long. You need to come tonight. Come home. Let him give you that faith that you need tonight. Anyone need to come? We'll wait.
Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus,
the author and finisher of our faith.
Come home.
All right. We got Brother Josh here tonight. He's going to come up and he'll close our service in prayer tonight. And I want to do something tonight as he closed, because our men, great deacons, you're in here tonight as a deacon. I just want you to come back tonight and come up here for a minute. If you're a deacon, your wife, come up. And just come on up. And you folks, I want you to remember who they are and pray for them fervently. They need your help. They need it through prayer. And I thank God for each of these men. Not all of them will be. I know Wade, he's working with the little ones tonight. But we just want you to come and remember. And would you remember particularly, my brother, these that are here. I'll tell you, don't just pray for the husband, the wife. The nights they're out. It's incredible. And the time they spend in this. But it's going to be worth it all. When God brings the right one here. And I want you to not just pray for them. I want you to take time to maybe leave your seats in a few moments and find one of these men, these ladies, and say, we're praying for you. Not just the deacon, brother, their wives are going through it. And would you do that? Hello? Will you do that? Say amen. All right. Brother, come and close in prayer.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you tonight to lift up this pulpit committee. Lord, we just thank you for the work that's already been completed. Lord, we know it's been a huge time commitment, Lord, just the time meeting and praying and researching and trying to find the person that you would have to be our pastor here. So, Lord, we don't just thank you for our deacons, but also for their wives and their families, Lord, as they have spent a lot of time away from home. And, Lord, just the importance of this position, Lord, to find that man who will lead our church going forward. So, Lord, we just thank you for the work that's already been completed. Lord, we most of all just thank you for their willingness and their desire to be led by you throughout this process. And Lord, from the beginning of this, they've shared about being transparent. Lord, they have shared just their desire to get it right. And Lord, as they continue to grow closer to you, Lord, and just to understand what your will is as far as who will lead this church, Lord, I just pray that you would just grant them wisdom. Lord, just impart discernment, leadership, direction, and guidance going forward. And Lord, whether this process lasts another week or another year, Lord, the most important thing is just that they get it right. So Lord, we pray that you would just continue to give them the right questions to ask, Lord, just to dig as deep as you would feel that we'd need. Lord, but may we all rest assured that you already know who this person is. Lord, that this is a selection that we made by you. And so Lord, we just pray that for our deacons and their wives and everyone involved, Lord, they'll just continue to grow closer to you, to understand what your will is, and to understand who you would have to come here. And Lord, I just pray for peace and clarity for each of these men going forward in the process. And Lord, as you have already selected this person, Lord, I just pray that you'd be working in their heart. I'm sure you have already. And Lord, if that call comes that they're selected, Lord, we just pray that you would give that person peace and clarity as well, to know that it's your will for them to be here and to lead Buffalo Ridge going forward. Lord, we just pray that this process continue to be turned over to you. And Lord, just that everything done here will honor and glorify your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.